Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
How's it going? Thank you for checking in. And today we talk music. I go back to my DJ days. My favorite pop punk band is Neverland, featuring lead singer Anna Neitzel. How's it going?
It's going good.
You have a release on March 27th.
So we actually released a record. It's some of the same songs from our previous release, but we recently, within the past year, got signed to a small label out from New York called Manic Cat Records. So we're releasing it through them. We re-recorded the drums. We re-recorded the guitars. There's four new songs on there. It's been remixed, remastered. So there's a lot of really cool stuff on there. We're excited.
It's kind of a typical radio interview kind of question. Like, your inspiration for writing songs, personal experience or just ideas? How does that come about?
Usually it starts with something personal, either from myself or from one of my other bandmates. And we all kind of take it from there. Our writing process is very collaborative. Music doesn't always come first. Lyrics don't always come first. It just is usually an idea based from an emotional place, and we build it from there.
Are any of the guys that are referred to in the songs maybe previous relationships of yours?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely some about my personal relationships in there. And we find sneaky ways to let those people know. There's lines and words and specific lyrics that to anyone else, they wouldn't get it or wouldn't, think like, oh, that's about me. But we make sure that it's known.
They got to know. How about sending them a text later? Dude, you just inspired me to write a song, you D-bag.
No, I've never done that one.
That's good. That's got to happen. That's going to happen. And I want the credit for it.
Okay.
Hey, you're a great example to me, Anna, of, hey, things happen for a reason, and maybe something bad happens in your life, but you respond, you grow, and you become a better person. You become a person that takes a different path. And I knew you as a basketball player as a kid, and I thought you were really good. So how did the transition go from basketball, which didn't work out, and then you became this kick-ass musician?
Well, music was something I always loved, and it was always something that I wanted to do. But I also really love basketball, and when I was younger, that was something I thought about, was playing college basketball. And my sophomore year, I fractured my cheekbone, and there were some coaching changes and things, and it just didn't really, like you said, it just didn't really work out. And I decided to just dive in headfirst to music and really commit to that, and haven't looked back since.
And you were about 16 years old then?
Yeah, 16.
How long did it take to form the band after that?
Let's see. Nisha and I, our guitarist, met in our college music theory class. So that fall. So, I left high school at 16 and I started at the community college there. And that's when we met in our music theory class and we started writing songs. We recorded our first EP that next winter. And yeah, I've just been building ever since.
And that was 2013.
That was 2013. Yeah. It's going to be 7 years this fall. Crazy.
That's amazing. Yeah. Do you get blown away about how fast the time goes by?
Oh yeah. It's insane. I mean, it feels like we've been doing this for maybe 2 years. It's been seven.
Were your parents surprised at this kind of, life change for you? And what was their response? When you go from high school student basketball player to a rocker chick?
They've always been super supportive of me. They always knew that this was something that I wanted to do. I went to a lot of concerts when I was younger. I mean, I still go to a lot of concerts, but I went to a lot when I was younger, and they knew this was something I was really passionate about. This was something that I wanted to be in a band. And I think that the real surprise, it was less of surprise that I wanted to do it, but more that I wanted their support in me actually taking action to do it, saying, please sign me out of high school, please, let me sing in my bedroom and, don't judge me. And and so I don't know, I think that was probably more surprising, of the request to leave high school to pursue it. And they were really supportive. And they let me do it.
So when you say singing in your bedroom, it's like, you know, late at night and you're belting out stuff when everybody wants to sleep?
No, just, you know, during the daytime. But I'm sure listening to like a 15, 16-year-old sing, it's, you know, I know I wasn't that good back in the day.
Oh, please. At what point did you think that you were good? Like, you know, hey, I think I really got the hang of this.
Well, I always really loved to do it, to sing. And then my best friend was like, come on, dude, just sing for me. Like, let me hear it. And so I did. And she was like, you're really good. You should do that more. And that was kind of the first time I thought, oh, I could actually do this, you know, for other people, in front of other people.
What about the performing live part of it? Because making a recording is one thing, but not everybody can do live.
Yeah, singing live. I mean, playing shows and singing live is my favorite thing. I love it. It's definitely something you have to get used to doing, you know, getting up on a stage and getting in front of people and figuring out how to not feel and look awkward, you know. I think feeling awkward is the most important. If you feel awkward, you know, you're probably going to look awkward. And that definitely was something I had to learn how to do, was to get up in front of people and just, you know, feel confident and feel comfortable. And it took time. You know, we started playing shows when I was 16, and I'm now 23. So after 7 years, I think I'm finally maybe starting to get the feel for it.
The whole looking and feeling awkward, I'm still trying to work my way through. So
yeah. Yeah, aren't we all?
Hey, well, so give me some shows that are going to be happening. I saw your website. You got something in Mountain View coming up on the 14th. What about from there moving forward?
So March 14th, we're playing in Mountain View at O'Malley's Pub. We're also playing March 27th in Stockton. We're trying to get a couple more things set up for the end of the month. We'll see if we get it set up. We'll announce it on our socials, on all our social media and things like that. We're playing April 11th in Berkeley at 924 Gilman with our friends. They're going to be touring through here from Portland. They're called Noise Brigade. They're really cool. So we're excited for that one. And yeah, we're just kind of going from there, trying to get things booked out for summer. We've got some tours in the works and we're really excited.
You got a manager or someone who does that for you, or do you do it yourself?
We have support from our label. Yeah.
Okay. Where has been a place that you thought, man, this is awesome, and what place did kind of make you say, wow, we're really here?
We got to play New York this past winter. It was our label's 5-year anniversary show, and we flew out as a band to New York, and we got to play this really cool show in Nyack, and that was our first time ever playing on the East Coast, and I just remember getting to this, you know, this hotel room with some of my best friends and thinking like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I'm here right now just to play music. Like, it was so cool to me.
Are the fans the same everywhere? Or do you feel like there's more love in certain regions, or they respond differently?
We get a lot of love, obviously, in the Bay here with our friends, and SoCal, we have a lot of support down there. And then it's funny. We've befriended some other bands just throughout the years. And the cities that they're from, we have a lot of fans in, just because of, you know, through social media and Twitter nowadays, and being in contact with them and creating this friendship with them, you know, it introduced their fans to us, and it introduced our fans to them. So like I mentioned, Noise Brigade from Portland, we have a pretty solid following up in Portland because of them, and because their friends all listen to us and have shown their friends and so on and so forth. And then same thing, we have a band that we're really good friends with down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Right On Kid. And so we have a pretty solid following down in Albuquerque there. And then same with actually in Louisiana and New Orleans and Baton Rouge and that kind of area. We have a band that we're friends with called Hey Thanks. And so just by, you know, talking to each other through Twitter and Facebook and Instagram or whatever, and posting about each other, all of our friends have started listening to all of each other's bands. And then it's just grown from there. It's really cool. So those are probably the areas we're most popular, I would say.
Hey, after today, Anna, we've got listeners all over the world. So we're expanding. We're going from the States to taking this thing to make you a global phenomenon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Tell me about Beauty Sleep. I saw the video, which was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, Beauty Sleep's the title track of our record. It's a really important song to us. Something that I don't think people really think about or pay attention to in our genre. Or, I mean, they do, but it could use more attention and more more vocalization is some of the sexism that we have to deal with, just being a band with three females in it. People can be really misogynistic and just really judgmental, and that song is kind of about that. And again with the sarcasm, it's kind of the first line of the song is, if beauty sleep is what I need, I might as well just wake up. And it's kind of a song like being like, fuck your beauty sleep. Yeah. Like, I don't, like, we're here to play music and we're here to do what we want to do. And if that makes you uncomfortable, or if you think we're less, you know, if we can't do it as well as men can, then you're wrong.
What kind of stuff have you dealt with in because of that? I mean, I just think the music's great, you know, girl or guy.
Just people like, you know, there was a time, like, I was okay for, like, example, we were playing a show, it was actually in Mountain View, and we were playing a show in Mountain View, and in this, there was this back area, it was for band members only, it's where all the gear was, it was kind of like a green room, and I was standing back there talking to my friend who was in another band that was playing that night, and there was a decent amount of people that were back there that weren't in bands, they were all men. And, you know, I'm standing back there, my friend and I are talking, and the security guard comes out and just, like, yells, this is for band personnel only. This area is for band personnel only. And so I, you know, I'm like, yeah, cool. I'm in a band. I'm in the band that's headlining tonight, you know. So I ignore him, keep talking to my friend. I could feel him looking at me, but, you know, I'm thinking, like, I'm in the band that's, I'm the singer of the band that's headlining tonight. Like, how do you not, like, how are you not realizing this? And so a bunch of people start, they're walking out, they're leaving, because, like I said, they weren't in bands, so they weren't allowed, they technically weren't allowed to be back there. And then he yells it again, like, looking at me. I look over at him and I'm, tell him I'm in a band, dude, like, I'm playing tonight, I'm in Neverland, I'm the singer of Neverland. And, you know, it kind of just gives me, like, that smug, like, oh, okay, leaves. And it's just stuff like that, but all the time, like, people, you know, not wanting to give us wristbands, like, for when we show up at places when we're on tour, like, oh, wristbands are for bands only. And, like, okay, yeah, cool, that's awesome, we're in a band, like, we are the band that's playing tonight. And just that lack of respect, or, like, I guess even not, maybe not even respect, but just lack of awareness.
Sure. We like to use the term in journalism, a dipshit.
Yeah.
That pretty much covers it, right?
Yeah, it does.
Anna, when you were starting in music, who were your role models? I know we were talking on the phone last night about Hayley Williams of Paramore being someone that was a real influence to you.
Yeah, definitely Hayley Williams was she was the first kind of female front woman that I was exposed to when I was younger. And, you know, the first time I saw, like, a female fronting a band, thinking, like, oh my gosh, I could do that. Like, that's something I could do. And so she definitely has been an influence for me over the years. Definitely, like, Gwen Stefani, No Doubt, you know, so two of the big ones for me.
I have a friend that taught Gwen Stefani to drive, worked at a driving school.
No way.
Yeah, remembers it vividly. Obviously didn't know she's going to be famous, but knows who she is. And yeah, down in Orange County, great anecdote.
That's so awesome.
And then Hayley Williams, I didn't realize she was as young as she was when she was in that band as the front person. I mean, 17 years and she's now 31, 32.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, pretty good. You get great role models for you.
Yeah, she was definitely probably the biggest for me when I was younger.
She's got a solo thing coming out in the next couple months.
Yeah, she does. Pedals for Armor.
Exactly.
She's released the first half of the record. It's awesome. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to listen to it. It's really good.
No. I know that she has kind of come clean with some of the things in her life, with divorce and some of her earliest memories of her parents fighting. And so, you know, she's kind of, you know, cleansing herself with a solo effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super, super cool.
Do you feel like doing your music, Anna, is kind of something that's, you know, therapeutic as well, just kind of getting stuff out? I mean, you want to make a good product, but I'm cleansed. I got that out.
Yes, definitely. It's definitely a form of expression. I think especially playing live shows for me is just so therapeutic, getting to sing live, and it's such a physical thing, you know, and that's the thing about being a vocalist is my instrument is me. I am my instrument. Like, you know, there's no like putting it down for today or, you know, I'm just not going to take it with me. It's always there. And I don't know, just having that like physical release on stage, being able to sing for people, and it's very, very therapeutic.
Can you feel a day when you really connect, like, man, I know they really got me and they felt something?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's the thing too, that's cool with shows. You never know what you're going to get. And you never really know, like, sometimes you could show up to a show not, you know, maybe not in the mood, or like sometimes it is a job, you know, and you show up and you're tired, or, you know, you've been fighting with friends, or, you know, like whatever's going on, and you get up on stage and just seeing the way that people respond, it's awesome.
Yeah, real a cathartic experience, and then connecting with other people, I'm sure there's nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Better.
Better is a song written about mental health. It's just about, you know, being frustrated with yourself, kind of almost being like sick of yourself, like knowing, like seeing your potential and knowing that you're falling flat from there. And it's just about like really focusing and making yourself better, you know, and calling yourself out on your own bullshit and like knowing that you can and will do better.
How does that message resonate with you?
Just like definitely dealing with mental health. Sometimes it's easy to fall into old habits, and I don't know, it's just a good reminder that like you're stronger than that, and you can, and you know, mental health, it's such a tricky thing because it is chemical, you know, and it's just knowing that you're bigger than that, you know, and even if things are not great right now, that like you will overcome it.
Why do you think, Anna, with young people especially, that there are increasing numbers of depression, anxiety, suicide? I've talked to teens about this with social media pressure, parents forcing them to get 4.0s and, you know, whatever it is, you know, there's things out there in the world that make it different now than it was when I was a kid.
I think maybe there might be a couple things to that. I think part of it is I think that for the better, we've created a more open and understanding environment for mental health. I think that people are judged a lot less harshly for coming forward and saying like, hey, I struggle with this. Like, this is hard for me. I think back in the day that mental health wasn't real health. You know, you said, I feel sad. It's like, okay, well, suck it up. Like, we all feel that way sometimes. It's not, you know, everyone was kind of told to like put up or shut up.
Yes, exactly.
And I think nowadays we've created a much more like open and expressive environment where people can talk about what they're going through and how they're feeling, and there's a lot less harsh of criticism for it. And then I think also like there's definitely a lot of not great things that are going on in our world right now that I think it can be really easy to lose hope and think, you know, like things aren't going to get better and things aren't going to change. You know, like so many people my age don't have healthcare. They don't have the ability to buy homes. They don't have, you know, these things that previously were seen as something that's not easy to do, but the norm, the standard to do, it's like almost unheard of now for someone my age to be a homeowner.
Sure. Especially in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever bottom out yourself when you're talking about getting better and it's okay to come clean about stuff? Did that happen to you mentally?
Yeah, I definitely have struggled with my mental health throughout the years. And it's just about getting back up, you know?
Yeah. And the fact that you're willing to say, hey, it's okay that I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always feel like when I ever talk about mental health with a podcast, and, you know, we want thousands all over the world or whatever, but, you know, if one person has something click in, you know, in this area, it makes a difference, then the whole, you know, conversation is worthwhile to me.
Yeah, definitely.
No, awesome. Well done, young lady. I'm super proud of you. Okay, next on my list, Far From Perfect. And tell me who Zach is.
So he's the singer of a band called Man Overboard. We were lucky enough to have him feature on a song with us. We'll have more information on that song on the 27th, but we're excited. We have a really cool video coming out for it on the 27th. We filmed it. We rented out an Airbnb in Guerneville, up by the Russian River.
Yeah.
I think that's how you say it, Guerneville. Guerneville?
Yeah, no, you're right, Guerneville.
Guerneville, okay, yeah. So we rented this Airbnb in Guerneville, and we threw a New Year's party in July. And we made this really cool video. We're excited for it. It's coming out on the 27th.
When you talk about having a party and, you know, doing this video, what about the length of that process, putting together a music video?
Oh my gosh, it was so funny. I was buying, you know, party decorations in July off the internet, and it takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of logistics. We did this video in, it was a one day. I mean, technically we did an additional day later of filming, but it was a one day shoot. So we filmed everything in one day. We started at the crack of dawn, getting everything, well, the night before, getting everything set up. And then in that morning, like starting to get all the filming that we can do. And we filmed until I think like 12 o'clock at night. And so it was months of planning and then to knock it all out in one day.
Were you sick of the song by the end of the day?
No, actually, thankfully, because it was a duet, usually it was a lot less work for me than it normally is, because it was getting split with one other, you know, another person.
Okay.
So, normally though, yes, filming music videos, you're so done with that song afterwards. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to hear that or sing that or play that
ever again.
A cool minute.
Yeah. I was on a set of a dance video. So I'm one of the nightclub dancers, and we did the same pop song hour after hour after hour. And I liked that song when I first got there. I was totally sick of it. You know, by the time I had danced to it, you know, the third or fourth hour, and I can't imagine what it'd be like to be the singer.
Yeah.
Brutal. What about keeping the energy up that long? Like, you know, you're, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you've got to act like you're singing it for the first time.
Yeah, it's definitely a performance, but it was so fun. I mean, filming this video was so, so fun. It was really easy to stay in good spirits just because everyone was just having fun. You know, we were at this awesome, super cool house, and, you know, it had a beautiful view of all the trees and everything. And, it was really easy to stay in a good mood and just have fun with my friends and make a cool video.
Anna, I want to make sure we give props to the other band members, and let's give them some love now.
Sure. So Neverlyn is Nisha Rangel. She plays guitar and does vocals and harmonies. Samantha Zeger, who is our bassist. Merrick Perez is our lead guitarist. And Dylan Estrada is our drummer.
The token guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always wearing, if you ever see him, he's usually in our photos and things, he's always wearing this. Everyone debates if it's their blood oranges or if they're grapefruits, but he wears like a dad shirt that's got fruit on it. And he's made quite the name for himself with that.
Will there be any chance to get some Neverland swag there? I can look like the band and dress like them.
We have t-shirts and things, but none of our like personal clothes or things like that.
What about your social media information so folks can follow your band wherever, whenever?
So we are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all under Neverlyn CA. And it's like Never, NeverlynCA, like California. And you can find us anywhere on there. We're on YouTube. If you just Google it, we pop up. So we're pretty easy to find on the internet.
How did you come up with the name?
I was younger in middle school, And I really liked, I love Peter Pan. It's one of my favorite movies and stories. And I just thought what would be a cool name for a band. And I thought that that just sounded really cool. It was kind of at the time when bands were really doing the, like, the three word band names, you know, like Walk the Moon or like Sleeping with Sirens. Like, it was very, like, you know, a trend.
Yep.
And I thought it'd be cool to have a band name that was just one word. And I thought that Neverland just sounded really cool, kind of inspired by Peter Pan. But it doesn't really have, like, the word itself doesn't really have a specific meaning. It was more just like something I thought sounded cool that was inspired from Peter Pan.
I couldn't have been the first one to ever ask that.
No.
No, it totally works. I would have never thought when I have you playing the low post at Mendenhall Middle School and you know, we go win a championship your eighth grade year, someday I'm going to be talking to this rocker chick.
Yeah, it's crazy how everything works out.
Yeah, I got to tell you, in fact, I want our audience to know, do you distance yourself from the basketball? Or can we talk about that?
We can talk about basketball.
Oh, my gosh, because they got to know how good you were. And she, as a sixth grader, was able to play on an eighth grade team. And then I'm the coach in the seventh grade. We lose in the final of the eighth grade championship. And then I get to come back with her as an eighth grader and we get to win the championship. And that to me is one of the coolest things I've been a part of. To see, I wanted it to be like a life lesson thing. Maybe it's not worthy of a song, but you know, that you fall, you fail, you're hurt and you get up, you get off the court and you get back out there and eventually cut down the net.
Yeah, I don't like to lose.
No, you never did. Now, did that ever change? Are you still super competitive?
Oh, yeah, I'm very competitive. But I definitely, as I grow as an adult, it's turned more inward. I'm just very competitive with myself and just always being better.
So what do you see in yourself that you can improve upon?
I could definitely go to the gym more. That's like the constant for me. I'm like, it's hard to get there, but I've been skating more, which has been good. I don't know, just always self-improving, being a more patient person, being a better friend, being a better daughter, you know, however I can show up better for the people in my life. And, you know, just.
And when you say skate, you mean skateboard though, right?
Yeah. Skateboarding.
Cause I saw a video of you on Instagram at a skate park and I thought, man, there's no way I could do that. That's a broken hip waiting to happen.
Yeah. Falling doesn't feel too good.
No. So what do you do to get away? I mean, I know music's it's very therapeutic, but what about, you know, Anna Neitzel not doing music and I want to decompress by doing blank?
Meditation or skateboarding. It's very therapeutic. You have to be very focused on right now, you know, you can't think too far forward on what you're doing on your skateboard. You have to be very just focused in that second and focusing on your balance. So it's, that in itself is really meditative. I don't know. Those will probably be my biggest two other than music.
Somebody asked me about recently about, hey, Dave, you should be meditating. So how do you do it? When do you do it?
So I do it in the mornings when I wake up. I just kind of like to focus on my own energy before I pick up my cell phone and before I, you know, start diving into the day and diving into other people's energy, basically. And I just like to sit back and sometimes I'll do either, there's guided meditations you can look up and do. There's a ton of those out there if you're new to it. Or just sit in silence and see what comes to you. And the whole key of it is not judging what you think, just thinking, you know?
You sound like someone that would be great at yoga then.
I do like yoga. Again, it goes right in with the gym for me. It's just a matter of showing up and doing it.
Well, I'm just talking about getting that meditative spiritual component out of it too, along with the working out.
Mm-hmm.
So the album's coming out on the 27th, and it's called Beauty Sleep.
Correct. Yes. Called Beauty Sleep. being released through Manicat Records.
If we want to find Neverlyn, we go on the website, neverlyn.com, N-E-V-E-R-L-Y-N.
Mm-hmm.
And also on social media, Neverlyn CA.
Yes.
I am so proud of you. You've made my day.
Thank you so much.
Our guest has been Anna Neitzel from Neverlyn. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.